Everybody says amen and amen. All right. In studying the scriptures leading up, how many of you expected me to do some kind of Christmas thing today? Well, I'm not. Kind of am, but I'm not. In studying the scriptures leading up to Christmas, I noticed some things. As the earth was preparing for the entrance of love made manifest, that's who he is. He is the express image of the Father, and God is love. That's why you get all these loving feelings this time of year, right? You want to give. You want to, because it's when the world recognizes him, that he came into the earth. I noticed some things. There was political unrest and an increase in spiritual activity as he came into the earth. Now, he comes into the earth at a time and a place, and a young girl and her fiancé, the way he did it seemed to be a contradiction to the normal way things should be done, but it's part of the covenant. If you have a covenant promise from God, there'll be things in your life that you look at when you look at that covenant promise that seem to be in contradiction to it. Now, how do I get past that? Well, I'm going to show you here. The fullness had time, had come. Jesus had been prophesied into the earth, and his coming into the earth and the time and the place brings all of this thing together. Let me show you something, Acts chapter 20, real quick. Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, some of his last instructions to them. And in Acts 20, verse 32, says this, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Now look at this. "And give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Now, see, we were Gentiles that didn't have the covenant. We didn't have an inheritance. So he's reminding you, because of Jesus and you being grafted in to the covenant of Abraham, you have an inheritance. Guys, it's called the blessing. Glory to God. These words are those last instructions, and let me break this down for you now. To God and the word of his grace. That's very specific. The word grace is speaking, and that's teaching. That's the teachings of Jesus Christ, okay? That's the word made manifest. John described him as grace and truth, all right? Is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Guys, that's done by the spoken word. Every covenant has a covenant promise, the word of the covenant. God will speak something out. Now, when he speaks it out, he calls you from your destined place. Amen. Not from where you're at right now. Example, Gideon. He said, "Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor." Gideon was hiding when the Lord said that to him, because he's speaking to him from his destined place. The contradiction is, I'm scared and I'm hiding. But you called me a mighty man of valor. So whatever God's called you to do, it may sound impossible because it is in your natural mind. But it's not impossible because he said it. I'm going to show you some things here. I believe you're going to be blessed by this. I've always wondered how Abraham became fully persuaded. Never could figure it out. It's by this. It's us beginning to agree with what he said, regardless of what we see. All right? Here's a fact on planet Earth. On planet Earth. You live on planet Earth?
Yes.
Here's a fact on this planet. You can choose to accept this or you can choose not to accept this. You live in a word-based society.
Yes.
Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, this whole society is based on words. This whole impeachment thing was about words. Everything is based upon words. We live in a word-based society, whether you're saved or not saved. I used to think that word of faith people and the New Testament epistles was where the doctrine of confession came from. Boy, was I wrong. No, I used to think that because we grew up Pentecostal. And it was the word of faithers, we called them, that talked about confession. But I was absolutely wrong. It's all over the Bible, the entire thing. Matter of fact, it's the premier teaching in Judaism. James, Peter, John, Paul, they all understood this. Now, growing up, we spoke in tongues, we lived holy, we were taught stop sinning. All the focuses of everything that was taught on those things. This is how you please God. This is how your life is going to be better. But honestly, as I looked at those people, none of them's lives were better. I mean, they weren't. Just looking at it. And I'd say, you guys are doing all this stuff, but your lives are not any better. You're still coming down to get hands laid on you for the same things for 40 years.
Yes.
Right? It was a total contradiction to what the Bible was saying. So we were trying our best to walk in the new covenant, yet it seems like there was little to no victory on a consistent basis. So we had religious people then make statements, and they'll say stuff like this to explain the contradiction. Well, sometimes God says no. Well, he needed your little darling in heaven more than you needed him here. Or he gave you that sickness to teach you something, to keep you humble. See, they're making an excuse for a contradiction. Come on now.
Yes.
And I've done it. They're trying to explain because they don't understand. Now, let me show you something. Psalm 89. Let's look at what God says about something. Psalm 89. I'm reading out of New King James today. Verse number 34. Psalm 89, verse number 34. This is God speaking. Look at this. My covenant I will not break. Now, there's a comma there. That'll just be a period, right? Period. Done.
Yes.
Whatever God says is done. You realize that?
Amen.
It's Sunday morning here. But if he said it's Thursday, we should go home because it'll be Thursday.
Yeah.
Amen.
Whatever he says is. Boy, if we could ever just get that in us right there. That's fact. My covenant I will not break. Now look at this. This is the key part of this. Nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So by looking at that verse, how will he break? If God were to break the covenant, which he can't, how will he break it? Right here. By his words. How will he line up with it? By his words. I'll show you that in the life of Abraham in just a second. Let me tell you how you unalign yourself with the covenant. By your words.
Amen.
Let me tell you how you line yourself up with the covenant. With your words. This is where you're like your father. Oh my. This is how we're like our father. His covenant is made and kept by his words. Now, I looked that verse up in the Passion Translation. I want to read it to you. How could I revoke my covenant of love that I promised David? For I have given him my word, my holy, look at this, irrevocable word. How could I lie to my loving servant David? Every covenant from the fall to the everlasting covenant are covenants of love. Every last covenant he makes comes from a heart of love because he is love. Love said this. Love did this. His words and his actions. When we learn to line our lives up with this, guys, this is when everything changes. I'm beginning to see it. It's coming in line. I saw this and I said, Lord, thank you for showing me. This is where I've missed it, right here. I'm going to show you in just a second. You ready? The way to break the covenant is with words, and the way to line up with the covenant is by words. And God watches over his
words.
So he's not going to slip his tongue and say something that would break his covenant. Woo, my goodness. My goodness. God will go so far, listen to this, he'll go so far with his words as to change a man's name. To get him to line up and start saying the covenant. In order to change the man's destiny, I got to change the man's name so that he begins to talk like I do. Because you understand, Abraham didn't have the word like you do. And so God had to get him talking in line with, this is how he became fully persuaded. He began talking like him. Now he does this with Abraham and with Sarah. Changes their names. Changes Jacob's name. To get him to line up with the destiny. God makes covenant with Abraham, and it's an everlasting covenant. As a matter of fact, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus gave you access, and I access, to that same covenant. Galatians 3 tells you, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. I always wondered about that word might. Why might? Because if you don't hook your mouth up like Abraham did, it won't happen. Even though it was purchased for you and you were grafted into it. My God, I'm telling you, about to, something's getting in my shoes beside my feet. Woo! So God makes covenant with Abraham, and that covenant is an everlasting covenant. Never be revoked. So it's a covenant of blessing received by faith. Right?
Yes.
By faith, Abraham believed God. It was accounted unto him as righteousness. Right? So he was on credit given righteousness. Now, because of Jesus and his finished work on the cross, you've been made righteous. That went over really well, didn't it? I said, you've been made righteous.
Yes, glory to God.
Woo. When I began to study the Hebrew language, it was an attempt to understand the word as the disciples would have understood it. I wanted a whole new level of revelation to open up, to hear it the way they heard it. It's like listening, and you, he watches so often, and I'm, good morning, sir, or good evening, where you're at, Rick Renner. When Rick Renner preaches from Paul's revelation, from the original language of Paul, the Greek, it's as if Paul is teaching us through Rick. That's what I wanted when I started learning Hebrew. God said, I'll not break my covenant nor alter my words. That's how he became fully persuaded, guys. There are two concepts in Judaism. I want to give them to you very quickly. Is that all right? That are from the same principle. According to the sages and the rabbis, the worst sin a person could commit is committed by their mouth. According to the sages. It's a Hebrew word. It's called Lashon Hara. It literally means evil tongue. The evil tongue. Now I'm going to show you this in Genesis. Go ahead and turn there. Genesis 18. And the life of Abraham in just a moment. The evil tongue is described as this. Now let me tell you what this is. Listen. We've all been guilty of this one. It's described as true statements that harm, embarrass, cause financial damage, my goodness, or lower the status of a person being discussed. True statements. The fact that the statement is true, the rabbis say, does not mean that others have the right to know about it. Well, I'm just saying the truth. I know, but it doesn't mean that everybody has the right to know about it. You're spreading it. You're doing more damage. And the reason they say this is the worst of all sins, it's hard to get it back. Once you've damaged the reputation, it's very difficult to ever get it back in the eyes of everybody. You don't know who everybody heard it. Let me give you an example of American history. Let me mention a guy's name and you tell me. Benedict Arnold. Now, none of us know Benedict Arnold. We never knew Benedict Arnold. I wasn't around with Benedict. Is that right? But what do we know about him? He's a traitor. Based upon what? What we've been taught. Now, I don't know if he was or not. I mean, history, we know, but you know what I'm saying? But we keep saying that, and that becomes the label to who he is. I knew a kid, his last name in high school was Arnold, and we always called him Benny, Benedict. Based on what? He had no related to that man or anything. My goodness.
Yeah.
Let me show you this in the life of Abraham. You ready? Genesis 18. God has promised them a child. What's the problem? What's the problem to that promise? Somebody, anybody?
Their age.
Their age. Their age, right? That's the contradiction to the covenant. Abraham and Sarah were old, it says in verse 11, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Fact, true statement. Therefore, look at this. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, look what she does. Look at her mouth. After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And when she says that, she's talking about herself. And then she brings her husband into this thing, Abraham. Is what she's saying true? Now, look at this. Now the Lord's going to speak. And the Lord said to Abraham, Why does Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child since I'm old?" Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now let's look at this. Let me break this down because we run past it. We missed it. I missed it for years and I just saw this. I tell you, when I saw this, I had a shout. My God, I did. I literally got up and danced around. I love Revelation, don't you?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for revealing your word to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now look at this. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also." Now look what the Lord said. Surely I shall, let's see, where is it? Verse 13. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child since I'm old?" He stopped. See it?
Yeah.
What did he not say? He didn't say anything about Abraham. He stopped. He did not repeat verbatim everything she said. He repeated what she said about herself, but he did not say anything about Abraham. Why? Because he had already said something about Abraham. And he's not going to alter his words or contradict his covenant. You got it, didn't you? You got it. I said you got it. Did you get it? He stopped. If he would have repeated, he would be a talebearer. He would have repeated what she said. He would have just spoken something contrary to the covenant he had made with the man. He stopped. My God.
Hallelujah.
He stopped. I saw it. My Lord being old also, he left that out. It's a true statement, but he left it out. He's not going to even himself commit the evil tongue by repeating something, because it would have messed the whole covenant up.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Now the two of them are one because they're married. Do you remember with Job? Everything you said, God gave the instructions to the devil, what he could do to Job, what he could not do. You can't kill him, he said. Now, he killed his children, but he didn't kill Job's wife. And I always wondered, well, why didn't you kill her? Because she was causing him some grief. I'm just saying. Why didn't he kill her? Because the devil knew he couldn't. He had no legal right to kill her. Why? They're one. Can't touch her. My God. And Abraham and Sarah are one. She's not supposed to be talking like that about him. My Lord Jesus. So now the Lord will ask Abraham about this innocent slip of the tongue, and notice the details. Why did she laugh? And what did he leave out? The comment about Abraham. He did not repeat it about Abraham. If he had did that part, it would have messed everything up had he had said that. He didn't think it. Brother Copeland said this to me the other day. He didn't think that was funny. That's why he asked, why'd she laugh? He didn't think that was funny. That's not funny. Sometimes we get too loose. Well, that's funny. I'm just being funny. No, you're not being funny. You're contradicting the covenant in your life. Do you want to walk in the fullness of the blessing?
Come on.
Glory to God.
What would have happened had he said that, what Sarah said? Now, when you understand this, see, I saw this. How many of you, this is new? You've never seen that before. There you go. I hadn't either. Went right past it, read right past it, read it hundreds of times. But it came alive in Revelation. He did not repeat that. And that's the way I've got to be, because I've been grafted into the covenant and the blessing of Abraham. So he's not going to alter his word concerning me and that blessing.
God.
All right. Now you understand in Scripture, now everything starts to come alive. I'm seeing it everywhere now. The Lord will close Zechariah's mouth before John the Baptist is born. I don't know why, but he did it. Doesn't matter why. I don't need to know why. I know he did it. And here's a thing I speculate. He's a priest. Listen, every time I stand in this desk, in this pulpit right here, I take it very, very seriously. Jesus' frustration and interaction with religious leaders. Now you understand why he was so frustrated at them. And he made statements, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, he speaks to your spirit man. He goes directly to the spirit when he gives you words. Ooh, goodness. Now, it may contradict with society. It may contradict with where you're at right now. But if you'll hang on to the word that he speaks to your spirit, it'll change you and transform you to where before the next thing you know, you'll be there. John 14:24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. In other words, Jesus said he made sure that everything he said was what the Father told him to say. He didn't do anything by accident. Now, the other aspect of that, I told you about evil tongue as spreading something that could be true, is true, but telling it and retelling it. The other aspect in Hebrew theology is this. It's called Kaddish Hashem. What is that? Strange sounding word, right? Kaddish means sanctify. Hashem means God. To sanctify God's name is what that means. Now, how many of you are Christians in the room? Well, you bear that title, right? You walk around, you proudly let everybody know, I'm a Christian. Well, you're bearing his name then. Mm, right. Oh my.
Tell them about it.
Oh my, here we go. How many of you are glad you came? You bear his name. When you're in the checkout line, you bear his name. All your coworkers, you're bearing his name. He's not here, you are. Many people have never read this, but they read you. Sanctifying his name. Let me show you Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Now, we know this one, right? Exodus 20, verse 7. It's one of the big ones, one of the big 10. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, that's more than just cussing. I remember years ago, we were pastoring in California, and I was praying and I got in my spirit. Greg, why do you take my name in vain? And I was ready to rebuke him. Get thee behind me. Because the Lord wouldn't say that to me, but I knew it wasn't coming from out here. It's coming from here. And about the third time, why do you take my name in vain? I was doing a Peter. I don't take your name. Lord, you know me. I love you. I don't take your name in vain. I don't GD anything. I used to. I don't now. Get it again. Why do you take my name in vain? I don't do that. About the third or fourth time, you'd think I'd learn quicker that way. About the third or fourth time, Lord, I obviously do. Show me where I'm taking your name in vain. And he said, well, who am I? Who am I? Oh, you're the I am that I am. Well, after me telling him a whole lot of stuff, finally got down to the I am. Who did I tell Moses to say? I am. Are you in me? Father, you know I'm in you. Am I in you? Yes, sir. Then quit saying I am sick.
Oh.
I'm not sick. He's just trying to take me to a higher place. Now, I can refuse to go there, still be saved, go to heaven, but not live in victory. He said, quit saying I am depressed. You're not depressed and I'm not depressed. But I was going through some stuff right there and I'm like, this has just got me so down. This has got me, I am so depressed about this. I was saying stuff like that. What am I doing? I'm talking again. I'm evil tonguing his covenant. And the angels can't do a blessed thing about it. Come on. He can't do anything. His hands are tied by my mouth. Oh my God. I'm telling you how to live Christmas every day of the year.
Glory to God. Come on.
So Kaddish Hashem, that verse in Exodus 20, when you read it in the Hebrew, it's more than cussing. It begins this right here. You shall not take. Lo tasa in Hebrew. What does that mean? It means don't carry. You won't carry his name. It's more than just talking his name. It's carriers of his name. The Hebrew rabbis teach us, they teach a phrase that goes like this. That truth is the seal of God, or the seal of God is truth. In other words, if he were to put his signet seal on something, it's going to be truth. Where the enemy, Lucifer, is he's the father of lies, untruth. So we carry in us, on us, the seal of truth. Because you've been given all authority. You've been given the name.
Yes, above every name.
So you're a carrier of the name. Have you been given the name?
Yes.
Have you been taught that?
Yes.
What can you do with that name? Come on, somebody tell me. Huh? At that name. Every name that is named is going to bow, isn't it? So sickness is a name. Lack is a name. Poverty is a name.
Yes, glory to God.
Depression is a name. See, I was hooking my mouth up with the contradiction name rather than the name.
Awesome, Lord.
See it?
Yes.
Therefore, that's what was coming to pass in my life. Listen, I grew up Pentecostal. We would have testimony service. Gene, you know about testimony service? Testimony service. I remember this one sweet darling. She's in heaven now. Glory to God. Can't wait to see her again. And she would testify all the time about her ugly husband who wasn't saved. Oh, he's just been, y'all pray for me. I'm telling you, just pray for me. Came home drunk again. And so she's telling truth about her husband. It's true. But what's she doing? What Sarah did. Lord can't hook up with that. And she's asking all of us to pray. Listen, if you've done that, I'm not condemning you. Let's turn that around and start confessing what he is, what he's going to be. Right? Here's the funny thing. Years later, he got saved and she got mad about it. She didn't have anything to complain about. He was at church every Sunday and you stopped seeing her so often. I'm telling you, it's the way it was. But she'd say that, and she'd say, oh, the devil has been wearing me out this week. Bless his holy name. That's what she said every single week. I remember it. Oh, the enemy has been, you know, that pain is back in my back. Y'all pray for me. Bless his holy name. Total contradiction to everything that the word says. Loves God. Gave in the offering. There every single week. Never lived in victory. Why? It was available to her. It was purchased by the most expensive price ever paid in the universe. The precious blood of Jesus. But she never got victory over it because she never hooked her mouth up to her covenant. Maybe she never knew her covenant. Probably not. She never hooked her mouth up to it. Because she never hooked her mouth up to it, she didn't become fully persuaded of it. So God will change Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham so that he can become, so he'll start saying it with him. My Lord. Some of you may have to change things, relabel things around your house. Relabel your car or your truck. So that you say things differently than the way you say it now. Talk differently about your husband or your wife. Listen, I did that. I was complaining one time. I was hitting it in tongues. I was praying. And Michelle and I were newly married. I was still in the military and now in the reserves. So I'd had my weekend things working for Brother Hagin. And I would drive from Tulsa to Oklahoma City to report for the weekends. And I remember praying in tongues the entire way about Michelle. I'm focusing on her because she needs to change. I'm telling you what I did. She's got to change some things. Lord, you know this. I know this. And I'm turning it over to you. I thought I was doing something spiritual. And I'm for 90 minutes, hour and a half drive, I'm hitting it in tongues. And I remember I started to do that on the way home from drill that weekend. And I just out loud said this. Lord, here's the thing. She is so picky. And I heard it. Brother Copeland, I don't know if it's an audible voice or not. I'm the only one in the car. But it sure seemed like an audible voice. I heard it like this. And I'm going to, Mr. Soundman, be ready. I heard it like this. And she picked you.
Yes.
Woo. Woo. I got a chill just then, like I did back then. I'm telling you, I know where I was on the highway. I pulled the car over and repented. Lord, I'm so sorry. And she picked you. I'm complaining about her being picky.
Wow.
Listen, this revelation I just got this week about this with Sarah, I got the revelation this week, but I've been praying this out, walking this thing out for many years. But I've seen it now. Oh, Satan, I've seen it. Watch out.
Yes.
So I sanctify the name. You shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. Guys, that's more than cussing. When you read that, it begins with lotasa. It means you shall not take, you shall not carry. So what this verse seems to say is we cannot carry his name to justify selfish or evil behavior. In other words, I cannot use his name for endorsement for my actions. Oh my. Do I dare? Lord, I got to ask if that's you or that's me. I don't know the difference. Sometimes I don't know the difference. I do know the difference. I'm learning the difference. Let me give you an example. I'm trying to get God's agreement or endorsement of something I'm about to do. Like for this one. I heard this one a few times when I was growing up. I swear to God, I'm going to beat that boy.
No.
Hear what I just said? I'm going to beat this kid. I swear to God. No, you cannot do that.
No.
You cannot make him party to your action.
That's true.
Any of you here when Irving Roth was here? The Holocaust survivor. What a sweetheart. More of a Christian than most Christians I know. I ask him, Irving, why aren't you angry or resentful? He goes, I don't have time to be angry or resentful. He literally said this, had I gotten angry and resentful, I don't think I would be here at 90 years old.
Right.
And he's right. You know what? He's right. I said he's right.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. He said that the whole Holocaust thing, millions of people died, began with words. And the words became a slogan, and the slogan became an ideology, and the ideology was put into action, and millions died. But it began with words. My goodness. So, I can't say, I swear to God, I'm going to beat this guy up or whatever. No, sir, you can beat somebody up, but you can't make him party to it. You're taking the name in vain. Or here's another one. As God is my witness. Oh, really? Really? If you're going to say that, you better be saying something that lines up with the word. You better be. Now, if you do that, if you say it that way and it's lining up with the word, it's lining up with the covenant, it's lining up with what he says about you, that's okay. Because he can get active on that. I said the angels can get active on that. As God is my witness, the word is always true. I am blessed and not cursed. Now they can get active on that. The angels are work on my behalf because I'm an heir of salvation. See what I mean? He'll sign his name to that. My God is my witness. I'm going to give that boss a piece of my mind. Won't sign his name to that. You can't do actions that are in a contradiction to his word and his character and his nature and have him endorse it.
Yes, Lord.
Guys, he is love.
Yes.
God is love. And when I start talking like that, oh, the whole world opens up to me. All of the inheritance opens up to me. When I start talking like Jesus did, the words that I say I heard from my Father, then now everything opens up. This is why Peter writes concerning Jesus. You want to know why Jesus kept his mouth shut during the crucifixion? Because he knows this principle. When he was reviled, he reviled not. Think about that. He didn't do it. Satan was always trying to get him to slip up in his words. People would come to him and say, are you the Son of God? And he had always referred to himself as Son of Man.
It's true.
So somebody's lying. No, he was Son of God, but he would refer to himself as Son of Man because all the things he's doing in the earth are a Son of Man.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
See that? Lucifer's trying to trick him up because it would be illegal for God to come. Had to come through a second Adam. He knows this. This is why he said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Remember this? He's quoting the word back to him. So now he's got the full stamp seal of endorsement on what he's saying. My Lord. Wow. If we'll just learn to talk like Jesus, guys, the blessing of Abraham is on you.
Yes, it is.
And all you have to do is begin to talk like he did. He hooked his mouth up. He saw an example of it right there when the Lord would not repeat what Sarah said concerning Abraham. Even though it was true in the natural. We got to get to a place, I'm convinced, that what's true in the spiritual is more real to us than what's true in the natural. Because it has eternal ramifications. It has ramifications for my children and my children's children should the Lord tarry. So, can't be doing this. I've got to do my words, have to line up, and cannot be. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Don't use your words to align yourself with a contradiction. Use your words to align yourself with the covenant. That's why I just heard my spirit. Line my words up with what the covenant said, and don't deviate from it. Even though everybody will laugh at you.
Yes.
You're just denying the fact. No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
I'm not denying the fact. I'm denying what that says.
Yes, Lord to God.
I'm aligning myself with truth. So he is love. The rabbis teach this. It's forging his name. It's forging his seal.
Wow.
Oh, that's a scary place. Truth is the seal of God. The seal of God is truth. John will describe Jesus as grace and truth. Or in other words, the endorsing seal of God was Jesus. My Lord. A perfect example of carrying the name correctly is found in Abraham. But before I show you that, did I give you the Hebrew? Let me show you Genesis 18. Genesis 18, this is what I read, transliterated. Lotusah, there it is. You shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain. That whole verse. But here's what I remember when I taught you a left tav?
Yes.
The Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last letter. And that over 9,000 places in Scripture, it goes untranslated. It's just there. We don't know why it's there. And he told John, I'm the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the left tav. That's what he would have said. Now, we say Alpha Omega, but John's Jewish. He would have said, I'm the Aleph Tav. In other words, I'm the first and last letter of the alphabet. That's what this is. There's the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's called Et in Hebrew. And it's just in Scripture, and we don't know why it's there. I never could figure out why Jesus, if you'd leave that up, please. I don't know. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't find Jesus in creation in Genesis chapter 1. The Holy Spirit's there. The Father's there. Where's Jesus? When I read it in Hebrew, I saw it. In the beginning, God, and then there it was, created the heaven and the earth. There's a left tav, untranslated. It's his initials. And so he told John, everywhere you see Alpha Omega, the first two letters, that's me. Over 9,000 times in your Bible, in Hebrew, it's there. When they look upon him, who have they pierced? There it is. He put his initials there. Guys, that's me. He put his initials next to people's names And sometimes his name or initials are not next to people's names. Esau, his initials are next to Esau's name until Esau sells his covenant birthright. And then there's never a left hob next to his name again. My Lord. Rahab, Noah left Tob next to her name until she helps those two spies out, right? After that, every time her name is mentioned, there's a left Tob next to it. He put his initials next to her name. Honey, your name is somewhere written in the Lamb's Book of Life with his initials next to it.
Amen.
Lord,
hallelujah.
Lord. Glory to God. And none of you have a pen big enough to go erase it.
Glory to God. Come on with it.
But look at right here. If a left Tov is a messianic, is it Jesus? His initials. That's what he told John. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He could have left it there. I am the first and last letter of your alphabet. In other words, John, when you go back and you read your scripture and you find those letters there that are not translatable, that's me. I signed it. See it?
Wow.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Side note. Sorry, rabbit trail. First letter, last letter, the middle letter of the Hebrew alphabet is mem. A left mem tav spells a word, emet, which is truth.
Oh, so I'm the truth.
He's the way, I am the way, the truth, and the light.
Wow.
Glory to God. Now, you don't get this in the King James. You only get this in the original language. This is why I went back to learn it. You shall not take, I'm just going to put Jesus. Shall not take Jesus, the name, Yahweh God. He is the carrier of that name, the very express image of that name. You can't be doing stuff like when something happens, Jesus. Oh no, don't you dare. You're talking about Yod Heh Vav Heh here. We're talking about a name written on this man when he returns to this earth. And at that name, every name. Now, you go on down here. Here we go. We keep reading. Oh, here it is. Again, talking about his name. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you read it in the Greek, Rick Renner taught me this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christos. You're carriers of this name. Glory to God. That's something. There it is. When he's talking to Abraham and Sarah, there it is. There's his initials. Let me show you a perfect example, the short little time we've got left, of carrying the name correctly found in Abraham. It made such a positive impression on non-believing neighbors that they said, you're a prince of God. Look at Genesis 23 and verse 6. Genesis 23, verse 6. Look at this. Look what they call Abraham. Hear us, my Lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place that you may bury your dead. Look at what they're saying there. They are calling, they recognize the anointing on Abraham. Hear us, my Lord. You are a mighty prince among us. See what carrying the name did? See what carrying the name and the covenant did correctly? When you do it correctly, what it did? Even people around Abraham noticed who he was. You are a mighty prince of God. Woo! By aligning himself with the words of the covenant, beginning with his own words, and by carrying the name with honor, well, there's a phrase we need to learn, get back, isn't it? Carrying the name with honor, Abraham was so blessed that even the people around him spoke blessing over him. What I'm telling you is you're going to get to a place, I'm confessing it over you right now, you're going to get to a place that even the heathen around you will bless you.
Glory to God.
They're going to confess blessing over you. Woo! That's all done with Abraham. That was done with righteousness on credit. You're not with righteousness on credit. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, bought and paid for. Now you understand Proverbs 18:21, where it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
If you want to see the blessing in its fullness, you're going to have to operate in this. Now, you don't have to. Honey, you don't have to. You can keep doing what you're doing right now. We'll see you in heaven. God bless you. We love you. But if you're going to operate, if you're going to operate at a covenant level,
yes, glory to God,
you're going to have to do this. When Jesus was reviled, he did not revile. You're going to have to. I didn't say it was going to be easy. We've been trained. Well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to just speak the truth. Come on now. I want to go to another level.
Lord God, yes. Hallelujah.
Not for my sake, but for my children's children's sake. Like Abraham. Amen? What do you think? You with me?
Yes.
Sir, you want to add anything to this? Yes, sir. Oh, you've got one on there.
No, it is.
Okay.
I just want to say one thing. Did you hear the professor when he said God's word is? God's word is. Oh my. God's word is.
Yes, sir.
And like he said, if he walked in here this morning and he said, good morning, class, isn't this a wonderful Monday morning? Sir, this is Sunday morning. Not anymore, it isn't. All the calendars just changed. The world scooted back a little bit, in or forward, whatever one it had to do. But God's word is.
Yes, Lord God.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Well, stand up with me if you would. Stand up with me. Come on. Come on, stand up with me. Let's praise him for a second. Did you learn anything today?
Yes.
Huh? Did this change anything for anybody?
Yes.
There's some things I'm not going to repeat. Because I can't. The covenant is at stake. Your healing's at stake. Your blessing and your prosperity is at stake. You can't repeat it. Even though you want to repeat it, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. You got to walk in love. Come on, time. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to be made manifest in the earth. It's time for him to be revealed in the earth. And let me tell you how that's going to happen. It's going to happen through you. It's going to happen through all of you in this room. Let's commit ourselves to it right now. I just feel like recommitting myself. I don't need to get saved again. I'm just recommitting myself to the covenant. Father, in the name of Jesus, I recommit my life, my entirety of my being. I thank you that my spirit is saved and cleansed and whole and healthy and pure before you. That I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but I commit to you, sir, my mouth and my thoughts and my will and my emotions to line up with the covenant, to line up with what you purchased for me, to line up with my healing, to line up with my prosperity. In the name of Jesus, I will not take your name in vain anymore, but I will be a carrier of your name to everyone I know and to everyone I see. Come on, are you with me on this? We're going to do it in Jesus' name. And I'm going to tell you, your loved ones are coming home because of it. I'm telling you that prosperity is at your door because of it. I'm telling you that the blessing is overcoming you because of it. That you are going to reap as fast as you harvest because of it. That the blessing of Abraham is upon your life because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody's in agreement says, amen and amen and amen. Michelle, to you. Take a break.